And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Good morning, and happy Easter Sunday to you. It is Ed Phillips here. Nice to have your company. In for Larry M today for the House of Wellness. We're here to help you get well, stay well, live well, and look fabulous. Today, I am joined by a pharmacist, medical herbalist, and semi-pro golfer, Gerald Quigley, here to take your calls on 1-81-873. Nice to have you with us, Gerald.
Thank you, Ed, and good morning, Lynn. He hasn't introduced you yet, but good morning. You're looking superb. And I don't know about pro golfer. I just want to enjoy the game more by being more consistent, Ed. Quite simple request, really.
It'll never happen unless you play night and day.
I know that.
And Lynette Bolton does join us today. We must check quickly because it's a health and well-being show. How is husband Jude after the Swannies 4-0?
Well, thankfully, he doesn't take it as personally anymore, but I do think it does upset him. But speaking of golfers, Jude is a horrible golfer as well. So maybe, not that I'm implying you are, Gerald, but maybe you guys could get to have get together and have a game because he does love to.
I've marked that in my diary, Lynn. Thank you.
I think there was a little undertone of implication that he wasn't a great golfer, but
there was.
Jude definitely is not a great golfer.
Okay, well, that's good news. Guys, busy day today, and, of course, we're thinking about Easter eggs, and probably it being 9 a.m. around the country, we're too late to give you some advice on the do's and don'ts of eating too much chocolate, but we'll look at that today with our nutritionist. We'll have a good chat to dietitian Sky Swaney, get a few tips on how to navigate all these Easter temptations. Was there a little Easter egg hunt at your place this morning, Lynette?
There was a little Easter egg hunt. We have a dog, so our limitations are there because, unfortunately, the dog likes to eat all of the eggs. So what we do actually do is something that Jude and his family have done growing up with. We make a little nest for the Easter bunny out of things like jumpers and bits and pieces, and the girls put one in their room, and that's where we put the Easter egg.
The bunny knows to go there and hide the eggs.
And stay away from the dog and the cat.
Well, who hasn't had a couple of greedy Labradors go through the garden and find the eggs beforehand, which mine did. I remember. And we just found little clumps of screwed up and sort of doggy dribbled tinfoil where they'd munched away and had a great old Easter Sunday.
Yeah, well, not too great for them, unfortunately, but we did lose a couple this morning. I did look in the little nest and go, I'm sure there were a few more there this morning.
Have you got a bit of an Easter egg hunt there, or are you just hunting more for golf balls, Joe?
I'm a little more brutal, Ed. I had my first last night at 11 o'clock, just in anticipation of having a later start this morning. But I just cut the formalities, just go straight to it.
Yes, seems right. And if you get one of those nice, delicious bunnies, start at the ears. Can't go wrong. Yum. Mm. And look, we'll navigate through the best way to get through Easter unscathed. We know how Moorish and physiologically fabulous they make us feel. We'll see if we can get out of it on this Easter Sunday morning with the least damage possible. And this morning, I want you to stay with us. We're going to discuss Botox. Can you believe it turns 15 this month?
Only looks 10.
Very good. And our first guest is about to join us on the line. It's a welcome to Dr. Pramod Palmer, who is with us from the Naked Skin Clinic in Sydney. Nice to have you with us, Doc.
Hi, how are you guys?
Very good. Look, the thing hit the market in 2002, but a bit of research shows us, I think back in the 1820s, Gerald, you'd be fascinated, first discovered in spoiled sausages by a scientist who was trying to understand food poisoning. And then in the 1980s, ophthalmologists found it could help treat children with crossed eyes and some facial spasms. But, of course, we found a way to turn it to our advantage a bit later on. And then I think it was first marketed from around 2002 when it hit the world scene. It's been an amazing rise, hasn't it, Doctor?
Yes, it has actually. It's come a long way, and it's really been successful in treating anti-aging.
All righty. So tell us exactly what Botox is and what it does. How does it work?
Okay. Now, as a doctor, Botox is an S for drug, so I'm not allowed to use that word. So I'll be using botulism or botulinum toxin. Labyrinth toxin is a protein which basically is a neurotoxin protein. It's a friendly poison, as we call it. It's being excreted by a bacteria called Clostridium botulinum. Now, you're right, actually, in 1800, a German scientist found out that the sausages were poisoned with these bacteria and they produced the neurotoxin. It causes facet paralysis, and it is basically temporary. It goes away. It's pretty popular now, and we've actually isolated a couple of toxins, A and B. A is used mainly for cosmetic, and B is used for therapeutic or medical purposes.
Dr. Palmer, it's Lynette here. How long does a session? Hello. How long does a session of Botox last?
Well, if you're talking about how long it takes 5 or 10 minutes to do it. If you're talking about how long it lasts, there are multiple factors. We've got a few Botox botulisms here, actually, and they are they vary from 3 months to 5 months. The reasons is that it depends on how fresh it is, how it's diluted, and, of course, the injector.
Mm-hmm. Pramod, it's Gerald Quigley here, and thank you for speaking to us about this amazing stuff. What is exciting from a medical perspective, though, and I'm sure you're all over it, is the opportunities we see it for chronic pain, things like migraine and things like that. Have you got any experience in that, or are you really just doing the cosmetic aspects of it?
I know I am actually doing a lot of medical procedures as well. Actually, if you look at it, it's been indicated for 25 indications by the FDA from America. And one of them is chronic pain, including spastic pain from muscle spasms, chronic migraine, headaches, and pains in other parts of the body. As you know, it is a neurotoxin which relaxes the muscles. So any cause of muscle pain, it'll help. And a lot of cases of migraine are from muscle spasms.
Sure. Yes, that's very exciting. That can just change a person's quality of life completely, can't it?
It is. It is. I have had a lot of people come only for migraine treatment. It has been officially indicated by the FDA and TGA now, and it is a very effective treatment. Mind you, it does not work for every patient. It has. We can't pick and choose. We can try them.
Sure. Yes, like most things. But at least we've got some options, haven't we?
Correct, yes. And it's been one of the wonder drugs for a lot of other issues, especially with spasticity from strokes and spinal cord injuries, blepharospasms, cords, jaws, name it. It's been used everywhere, including sweating, excessive sweating, and neuropathic pain from Bell's palsies and other neuropathic pain causes.
Now, Doctor, from cosmetic reasons, I guess in the early days a lot of people went to great pains to deny they'd ever use any Botox. That seems to be changing as well, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it is. Actually, there's quite a bit of move towards positive attitude and perception. And I would actually thank the media for it, too. And, it's, of course, there's factors like...
You're welcome, mate. Yeah.
I think more of the media is like Kim Kardashian. Anyway, this is, we're talking about a lot of acceptance. There's a lot of metrosexual males there. It's generally accepted, and there was a study recently done where 58% of the male population have actually accepted treatments like botulism toxin.
Dr. Palmer, what are the most common areas that cosmetic Botox is used on?
Well, in my practice, I can say that the most common area is the glabellar lines, or we call it the frowning lines. The one between the eyebrows and then the crow's feet and the horizontal line. I'm using other areas as well, but these are the three common areas.
Pramod, the other part that I find quite fascinating is it's still a drug, isn't it? And we sometimes downplay these things, and you hear every now and again of someone going to a Botox or a botulism party. We still have to obviously see qualified practitioners like you. It has to be assessed as to the risks and benefits. Are there any downsides to this procedure?
Well, like any other procedure, we got to be careful, and thanks to the TGA and the FDA, they've labeled this as an S4 drug. So it's a prescription drug, has to be prescribed by a doctor, and a doctor's presence is needed. All the qualified nurses do inject them, and we have no problems with them. But lately, it has been used in the wrong context. We have seen people using it through hair parlors, hairdressing parlors, and in Botox parties, like you said, correctly said. Mm-hmm. It's not legal in this country to do that, unless, of course, the doctor is involved having champagne and injecting it. But still, it has to be done having a proper medical procedure. The downside is that you can actually get paralysis of muscles you don't want, so you see droopy eyes, you can get a lot of bruising, you can get side effects of compensatory hypertrophy with muscles you don't want to be paralyzed. Mm-hmm. So there's various things, but the good part is it's all temporary.
All right. Happy birthday to Botox 15, looking as fresh-faced as ever, and we appreciate your time this Easter Sunday morning having a chat to us.
It's a pleasure. Thanks. Have a happy Easter, guys.
Thank you. Dr. Pramod Palmer there, owner of the Naked Skin Clinic in Sydney. This is the House of Wellness. Plenty more to discuss, including chocolate, when we come back.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Let's grab a couple of your calls now this morning. 131-873 is our number. All our callers today go into the draw for a $100 gift voucher from Chemist Warehouse. We'd love to hear you. Get straight through to Gerald Quigley. Charlie, thanks for calling through this morning. Happy Easter Sunday.
Yeah, same to you guys.
What's your question through to Gerald?
Gerald, I take a bit of a medication, tablets and that, and it affects my muscles and joints.
Yes.
I wondered what you had that I could take. I'll take some of the turmeric.
Yes. There are some medications that are quite notorious for affecting the health of your joints and muscles, and they're the sorts of things, and I'll be talking about this in a little more detail next week, they are the sorts of things that you need to have a chat about to your pharmacist. So without going through all the medications you're taking, it's a timely reminder. If you go into your pharmacist with your medicines, or if you list them out, or if it's your regular pharmacist, you'll have them up on his screen, and you'll find that often one or two, particularly the cholesterol-lowering medications, cause... If that's the one, do you think that's the one?
Yeah, I take that. SOZ, which supposed to affect my muscles, and I take Atacan as well.
Okay. Well, now, the thing to take there is coenzyme Q10. Interestingly, Ed spoke about that a few minutes ago. Coenzyme Q10 stops that pain that you feel in your leg muscles especially, and you use 150 milligrams, Charlie, each night and morning. It won't adversely affect your medicines, but what it will do is make a huge difference to the production of energy within every cell in your muscles.
Oh,
CoQ10, and it really, for those just those two medications alone, it's a really important reason to take it.
Is turmeric good as well?
Charlie, turmeric's got about 300 physiological actions, so it just doesn't help muscles. It helps memory, it helps blood sugar levels, it helps inflammation across the board. So if you're taking that, please continue. That's another helpful thing. You're well ahead of it, Charlie.
Yeah, thanks very much, Gerald.
Thanks for calling. Happy Easter to you.
Appreciate your call, mate. Nice to have you with us. 131-873 is our number. Let's go to Alice now, standing by. Good morning.
Good morning, Gerald, and everyone
else. Good morning, Alice. Happy Easter. How can we help
you? Thank you. I've got high blood pressure, and my last reading was 141 over 83,
yes.
And also high cholesterol, which was 6.6.
Yes.
Now, I do take CoQ10. I've been taking that for quite a while. I used to take one that had with Hawthorne, but they've taken that out of the product now, so I take that separately.
Good.
So, and turmeric and everything else, and I've got to have cataracts taken off and a knee replacement, so, I'm going down the hill.
No, you're not, Alice. Look, it just means lots of things are happening. And look, continue with that. You said you were taking CoQ10, and I know we talked about it with Charlie. You need to take 150 milligram twice a day.
Uh-huh.
And are you taking medicines to lower your cholesterol?
No, I've sort of resisted that at the moment.
Okay. There's a number of things you can do to help rebalance that. One is by using aged garlic extract, and that's got some clinical evidence behind it. The other is a fiber that you can have as a cereal for breakfast, and that's called beta-glucan fiber. It comes as a powder you can put in a shake, or as a cereal you can have with some Greek yogurt and some berries.
I did hear you talk about that a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, so I got some of that, and I started that. So
okay. Now, remember, though, Alice, you're not going to see an improvement within days. The drug, any of those drugs drive your cholesterol down to your boots very, very quickly. This will be a more gentle balance.
That's right.
Remember, that 6.6 you quoted, that's one parameter. That's your total. the total isn't as important as the balance between what's called the good or HDL cholesterol and the bad or LDL cholesterol and triglycerides. It's a much more complex picture. Sometimes we just throw these numbers at you, and I think it sometimes can happen that you put on them by fear of what might happen. We can do a lot to make a difference. So if you can do those things, be careful about your weight before your surgery, and look, I'm sure everything will go particularly well because those procedures these days go very, very smoothly.
Hopefully. Thank you very much.
Good on you, Alice. Appreciate your call. Yeah, all the best. 131-873 is our number. More calls with Gerald across the morning.
Now, Gerald, we've spoken a bit about flu injections on the show before. Now, I'm finding this at my house. Our little ones are getting colds and sniffles with the cold weather. Are colds and the flu the same?
No. No, they're not. Lynn, a flu, those people that have had the flu really know they've had the flu. You feel absolutely dreadful. And thank goodness, flu in children, unless they've got other health issues, so they might be trying to cope with diabetes or there might be some other issues, then they tend to be more prone. Colds, however, most of us get 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 if you're a child. The colds across the day. So the cold virus tends to cause a little bit of discomfort. And that, Lynn, often occurs when children grow. They don't grow in a parabolic curve. They grow, stop, grow, stop. And when children grow, all their energy and all their immune function is directed into the growth spurt. So it means they're more prone to get colds.
Right.
So if you've got, and often stress, I mean, kids, I don't think I could spell stress. I'm using it generally as a physiological term. When there's a bit on, there might be something happening at school. They might be having some issues they're sorting out with their mates. So they tend, therefore, to probably are more prone to picking up a cold. But look, colds are something that we cope with. When you get a cold, you actually, your immune system steps in, you build up some resistance, and with a bit of luck, you'll get over it fairly quickly. Nutrition's important. In those growth spurts, the most important mineral is calcium. So you look at calcium-rich foods like fish and green leafy vegetables, they tend to build up your calcium levels, and the kids cope with those growth spurts a lot more easily.
So my little ones have had a cough and probably a runny nose now for about 4 or 5 weeks,
wow,
which I do just take as part and parcel of the cold weather.
Yeah.
But what I would like to know, as a mum who really lives for her daycare days, because it's really the only day of the week that I can get some stuff done, is it really bad to be sending kids with a sniffle to daycare? Or by that stage, are they just getting over it and they're not contagious, which is what I try and tell myself?
We should have Lynn on more often.
Great question.
These explosive questions where whatever answer I give is not going to go down well. Thank you, Lynn.
Sorry.
It really is a question of your own relationship with your daycare centre. Children are going to be coming and going. Remember, a lot of kids carry cold virus and they probably don't show the symptoms. But if you've got a child who's really blocked up and really uncomfortable and miserable, well, obviously you keep them at home and they recover. Kids bounce back. They go down the chute quickly, they bounce back quickly, and life goes on. So, look, if it's going to interfere with one of your daycare days, Lynn, let's move on, let's move on. But so it's an individual decision.
But we can come to you as our pharmacist and herbalist. Anything we could give our little ones to support their immune function?
It's funny, but every now and again you hear rubbish directed at the use of multivitamins in children. As adults in Australia, 95% of us don't get the correct fruits and vegetable intake per day. That's official. The dietitians back that up. And I think in many instances kids can be the same. So if to get a balance, there are a number of very low-dose, gentle multivitamin preparations in liquid form, in chewable tablet form, in powder that you can mix in water form, in fact, in shake form, where all you're doing is just helping a child get the nutrients needed for enzyme production and immune support. So I endorse those sorts of things in spite of all the rubbish we hear about. It's a waste of time. Anything we can do to keep our children as well as possible as they grow, I'm all for.
Tell you what, if they put some stuff in chocolate Easter eggs, they'd be onto it. Tell you what.
Fit and healthy.
Absolutely. We'll take more of your calls. 131-873. We'll come to some of those after the break. Then we're going to discuss chocolate and how we can get through this Easter long weekend without doing too much chalky damage. Stay with us. This is the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Happy Easter Sunday to you. It's Ed Phillips in for Larry Emder today. Lynette Bolton is our co-host, along with Gerald Quigley, taking your calls on 131873. Don't forget, we've got that $100 gift voucher to give away at the end of the show from Chemist Warehouse as well. Kerry, good morning to you. We have Gerald standing by for you.
Oh, thank you, and thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure, Kerry. How can we help?
I have a healthy lifestyle, but I've had recurrent Haemophilus bacteria in my lungs, and I had a
lung
scan recently, and it showed bronchiectasis.
Yes.
And I was just wondering, maybe you could...
Are you taking antibiotics for it, Kerry, or some...
Yes, I've just finished a course of doclomycin, one in the morning and one at night.
Okay. Of an antibiotic?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, good. And nothing, though, currently?
I'm coughing up some sputum, but it's not the dark colouring that I had.
No. Oh, you poor thing. Look, from a coughing perspective, Kerry, to ease that, there are a number of ivy leaf extract cough mixtures on the market. And what they do is they break up mucus, break up phlegm, so that you can more easily cough it. And ivy leaf actually has an interesting property that it almost works like a Ventolin inhaler, a salbutamol inhaler, gently. So as well as helping your lungs to work properly, it means that you can cough that muck up without exhausting yourself. So that's one thing. The other thing is, since you've just finished the antibiotic, it's important to start using a probiotic to get your immune function back to where it should be. Now, there are a number of them on the market, and please take them. Get your pharmacist to help you and take it the maximum dose of the one that he or she suggests, either powder form or capsule form. And the last suggestion I've got is something that we use for people with poor lung function, and you're in that category, Kerry, and it's called greenlit mussel. And it's available in a capsule form, and there's been some research showing that it does help with the wheeze and the difficulty that you have of getting up the mucus that you've got. And you can buy that from your local pharmacy. It's New Zealand originally, New Zealand products, so New Zealand greenlit mussel, but the research was done in children, and it helps adults as well, so you can buy those from your pharmacist as well. And let's just hope that... Have you had a flu vaccination this year, Kerry?
Not yet, I haven't. But my doctor's
once you're a little bit better, they won't give it to you. Yeah, they won't give it to you if you're a bit crook. They'll wait until you as well as you possibly can. But it is important that you take that you get that done as well.
Yes. Oh, thank you very much for your help.
All right, and look after yourself, Kerry.
All right, thank you.
Wishing you the best of health, Kerry. Thank you for your call. 131873 is our number here at the House of Wellness. We'll get some more consultations with Gerald Quigley in just a sec. We are loving, though, our Easter Sunday. What about all the Easter eggs? They're everywhere. We are expected to have spent something like $185 million, you guys, just on chocolate over this holiday break.
That's incredible.
Now, whether you're a bit of a chomper like me, I just munch through them all in one hit. Maybe you're a bit of a, I don't know, a hoarder, and you store all your stash. You have a little bit of egg that you nibble every day through till about June. We thought we should get a few tips on how to navigate this Easter egg temptation and find out even whether some eggs are better than others, and if so, which ones they are. Skye Swanee is with us. She's a dietitian and founder of Shift Nutrition, and she's with us on the line. Happy Easter Sunday, Skye. Tough time for a nutritionist.
Yes, thank you, and happy Easter to you too.
Are there some types of chocolate that are better to eat for us?
There certainly are. The ones that we want to go for are the really dark types of chocolate. So they're the ones that have the high percentage of cocoa, and it's the cocoa that we get all of the nutritional benefits from. So as much as possible, we want to be avoiding the cheaper sort of milk chocolate that we find in the supermarket and going for the good quality dark chocolates instead, so those nice bitter ones that we get.
So I'm just going to jump to the defence of chocolate a little bit here this morning,
go
Skye. I left my girls this morning and they had a couple of eggs, but yesterday morning they had a little tub of yogurt, and looking at the amount of sugar and calories in this little tub of yogurt, the eggs that they actually ate this morning were better for them. Is that something that is common, that eggs get this bad rap, but a lot of sugars can be found in things that we eat all day, every day?
Yeah, that's right. But it's important to remember that not all sugar is equal. So probably around about half of the sugar that you would have seen in that yogurt would actually be from the lactose, so the natural sugar that's present in the yogurt. And you're also getting other nutritional benefits from the yogurt, so calcium and protein, which you're not getting from an egg, which is basically just full of added sugar.
So no more eggs. Back to the yogurt.
But it's also it's important to remember that it's fine to indulge at certain times of the year. And so at Easter, I don't think there's a huge need to heavily restrict chocolate for that one day of the year. But on all of the other days, or most of the other days of the year, we do need to probably be a little bit more careful about how much we're eating.
Mm-hmm. Sky, it's Gerald here. I have two questions, the first of which is flippant, the second is serious. What eggs, can you describe at length what eggs you had this morning?
I haven't actually got into the chocolate yet this morning, but
wow.
I do. I have had a hot cross bun, though. So I'm definitely celebrating Easter the traditional way.
I have. I see a number of people that are a little older, and I actually prescribe dark chocolate for them and tell them to enjoy a couple of pieces every night. I do it as well, bearing in mind that one of the biggest issues we have is cognition as people age. The research behind dark chocolate, especially to help brain function, is quite phenomenal. Do we sometimes, when we get caught up in the downsides of chocolate, do we forget, in fact, that it is a medically, nutritionally supported and clinically supported nutrient for people's brain function? Should we really start focusing on that sort of thing, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's really important to acknowledge that chocolate does have some definite benefits in terms of brain function, and that has been proven through multiple studies, and it can help prevent cognitive decline in older people. So I think having a small amount of dark chocolate each day is potentially a good thing. And in fact, interestingly, countries who consume more chocolate have actually been shown to have more Nobel Prize winners. So whether that's just complete coincidence or something to do with the positive effects of chocolate on the brain, I don't know. But I prefer to assume the latter. So I think it is definitely something that we should be encouraging people to have in moderation. But it's really important to remember that there's chocolate and there's chocolate, so not all chocolate is equal. So you need to go for the really good quality dark.
Yeah. Just get Swiss chocolate. You can't go wrong. My mum was Swiss. Look at me. I turned out half all right.
No, you've done well. How much dark chocolate do you eat, Ed? Do you enjoy a piece every day?
I haven't had any. I did hear a little fact. I think I was reading it on Good Friday. One of those little 6-gram eggs that you get with nothing in them, you still have to work that off by running for 3 minutes. I mean, so who doesn't smash half a dozen of those? Becomes quite a long run by the end of the day. Thank goodness we've got 4 days off. All right, Sky, thank you for your tips. A dietitian with a soft heart, you've let us have a couple of little loopholes there, and we appreciate that.
You're welcome.
It's the day to be a bit lenient, isn't it? Nice to speak to you. There we have dietitian and founder of Shift Nutrition, Sky Swanee. More of your calls with Gerald after this here at the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Some of the benefits of chocolate on your Easter Sunday. Chocolates produce the effects of a mild antidepressant by increasing serotonin and endorphin levels in the brain, and it does contain a small quantity of caffeine. All good reasons. 131873 is our number. Your call's through to Gerald Quigley, who's standing by. Alison, thank you for waiting this morning. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My problem is I've got yellow mucus going down the back of my throat. I can't blow it out through my nose and I can't cough it up. I've been to an ear, nose and throat specialist. He said try Nasonex, didn't work, put me on an antibiotic, and I had probiotics at the same time. That didn't work. It gives me reflux. So just to make sure that was all right, I have gastroscopies regularly. I even went and had my gastroscopy, and that's fine. So I looked at Mr. Google, and he said sell off all dairy products. So any suggestions, Gerald?
Alison, isn't it funny? This has started from some muck running down the back of your nose. Look,
yes.
let's fix it. What you do is you use isotonic, strictly isotonic saline. Now, that's saline that you get from the pharmacy that does not have a preservative, and it is strictly isotonic. There are lots of brands on them. Isotonic is ISO. Yeah, that's it, isotonic. What that means, Alison, is there's no preservative, and it's absolutely balanced to the tissues in your nose.
Yeah.
Now, if you could use that night and morning, and you're using the Nasonex once or twice a day.
Yes.
Once or twice.
I'm using it once a day.
Okay. Then before you use your Nasonex, make sure that's just after you've irrigated your nose with isotonic saline.
Okay, thank you.
So I can't stress the importance of that word isotonic. There are a couple of brands.
You blow up your nose, is it, Gerald?
Yes, it is. You wash it up your nose. It comes in a little plastic bottle. You lean over the sink, breathe through your mouth, and you gently squish it up one side and it flows down the other, and you reverse. But what it does is wash all the allergenic material away. The best antihistamine, Alison, is called quercetin. Q-U-E-R.
Q-U-E-R.
C-E-T-I-N.
C-E-T-I-N?
I-N. That is a magnificent antihistamine that causes no drowsiness and is brilliant for minimizing the production of phlegm from the cells that cause that production to occur in your nose.
Okay.
And you can take that a couple of times a day. Make sure you sleep on a higher than normal pillow. And if you've got someone in your bed that can gently apply a little bit of chest rub to make sure that your nasal passages remain clear overnight, that is worthwhile, and your grandmother will tell you to rub chest rub on your feet as well.
Oh, that's not Vicks.
Yeah, well, you can use Vicks, of course.
Yes, yes.
Now, I know they're simple remedies, but they often make an enormous difference, and the secret is in the saline, Alison.
Okay. Thank you so much, Gerald.
Absolute pleasure, and let's hope that all those random tests that you're having to have, all of which are proving perfectly clear, let's hope that they've all stopped. Let's fix the mucus in your nose.
Wishing you the best of health. Thank you for your call. Ravanda, we come to you next. Thanks for hanging on. Gerald's standing by.
Hello, Ravanda. Hello.
Hi, good morning. Hi, good morning.
Yes, hello. I'm well, thanks. How can we help?
Yeah, my question is about blood thickness and how often we should donate blood and how much blood in the body. Because if donating blood, I'm 32, it will replace naturally, and should I just donate regularly for 3 months for next two years? That will replace my whole blood and filter it, clean it.
Well, look, the principle of blood donations, Ravanda, are just wonderful. I'm a blood donor and very proud of it, and I think doing that every 3 months actually puts a bit back into society that probably we take for granted for those people who continually have blood transfusions. So what you do is just register with the blood bank. They'll check you out. You go, when you donate blood, they check your blood pressure. They check your iron levels as well. That's all done as routinely as every time. And if there's an issue, then you are not allowed that particular time to donate blood. So put yourself in the hands of the Red Cross, and they will look after you. The benefits to you are huge, and the benefits to others are amazing.
Good on you, Ravanda. Listen, we've got to take a quick break. Appreciate your calls. 131-873. We'll go to this short break. When we come back, we will get Gerald to select his favourite caller of the day. Everyone who's rung through onto the House of Wellness in the running for this $100 gift voucher from Chemist Warehouse. We'll give it away next.
This is the House of Wellness for Remifemin Plus. Get formulated relief from strong menopause symptoms and Inner Health Plus pregnancy and breastfeeding 30 caps.
It's the Easter Sunday edition of the House of Wellness. Thanks for having you listen in. Jean, you've been standing by us so patiently. We have Gerald for you as well. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, Jean.
I sent my carer up to the chemist to get some magnesium powder for me and some EGB761, and the chemist said to her that they needed more information. They wouldn't give her anything.
Well, magnesium powder is a separate purchase, Jean, so that's easy.
Yeah.
The EGB761, is we talk about it every now and again, is a specific extract of ginkgo biloba, which does wonders for tinnitus and for vertigo. And there are a number of brands on the market, but surprising the pharmacist didn't know. The most accessible one is made by Blackmores. So I'm not sure what other information they need, but Blackmores Ginkgo is that particular extract.
good. Thank you very much.
Good on
Thank
you, Jean.
Morning,
well,
Jean.
That's going to be it for today's House of Wellness for Easter Sunday, the long weekend edition. Gerald, we have some more work from you, though.
Yep. And our winner, Ed, we have lots of wonderful calls. So you mentioned favourites. They're all favourites of ours. But the $100 gift voucher from Chemist Warehouse today goes to Alice, who had a number of health issues.
Yes.
Going in for surgery. So, Alice, congratulations. You are our winner.
And look, I think another prescription should be some more chocolate. It reduces the risk of heart disease by one third if you have the dark chocolate, has the antibacterial effect on the mouth, and just makes you feel great, increases the theta brain waves, which triggers relaxation. Prescribe some more, Gerald.
How can you go wrong? And I'm a great fan, and I'm looking forward to just having a quiet one straight away.
Lynette, you're back next week for the House of Wellness.
I am. Thank you so much for having me today, and happy Easter. And yes, I will see you next Sunday.
Happy Easter, everyone.